Now up about 30 points. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I'm so glad that you've joined us on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're going to be talking about Puritanism, the first part of the broadcast here today, and more specifically, we're going to be talking about the life and thought of a specific Puritan writer, and his name was Thomas Manton. I have myself enjoyed reading some of Manton's work, some of his sermons, just a tremendous, prolific writer. And so this book that's written about this subject really piqued my interest as we began to think about, you know, doing a broadcast on this important issue. Previously, I've had on Joel Beakey. He's been on the program with me before, Dr. Joel Beakey, and he has spoken to us about Puritanism and why that's important to us. He's a well-known author, writes very often about the Puritans, and so Dr. Beakey has addressed that subject with us, and we wanted to expand upon that a little bit on the first part of the program today. We want to look at this particular Puritan writer, see what his influence was, and how he is still having some influence today as well. The book is titled Thomas Manton, A Guided Tour of the Life and Thought of a Puritan Pastor, and it's published by P&R Books, or P&R Publishing. Their website is www.prpbooks.com, and the author with me on the program today is Dr. Derek Cooper. He's the Assistant Professor of Biblical Studies and Historical Theology at Biblical Seminary in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, where he is also the director of the Lead Ministry of Divinity Program. Lead Master of Divinity Program. He is also the author of another book called So You're Thinking About Going to Seminary, and he is a volume editor in the forthcoming Reformation Commentary on Scripture. So he's a busy man is what all that equates to. And so it's a pleasure to have Dr. Cooper with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today. And we're going to go to that interview with him in just a minute. Let me tell you where we're going after that interview. I like to periodically highlight local ministries here in the upstate of South Carolina. The broadcast that we do is broadcast, of course, on Christian Talk 660, which also now has an FM simulcast as well. And the 660 goes out a 50,000-watt station. So that goes out into a four-state region, all of South Carolina, parts of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. And so the flavor of the broadcast certainly has more of a national feel to it. We also broadcast on the Internet as well. You can listen to it live out on ChristianTalk660.com. So the broadcasts that we do certainly have that flavor. I get downloads from 30 or 40 different countries every month, as well as all 50 states every single month as part of the broadcast, as part of our work on SermonAudio.com as well. However, we are here in the upstate of South Carolina broadcasting right over here, just right up the road from Bob Jones University on Wade Hampton Boulevard. And so I like to periodically highlight local ministries as well. I was coming into the studio today, and I bumped into some folks who were in the lobby here, And I said, you know, why don't you come in to the broadcast here after my discussion with Dr. Cooper today. We'll save some time at the end of the broadcast to have a discussion with you. And so that's what we're going to be doing at the end of the interview today. So I just want to make you aware of that. Towards the end of the interview, we're going to talk about a pretty interesting local ministry that I just providentially, I just drove past their facility the other day. I was on my way golfing out to the cliffs, the beautiful golf course, the Vineyard, out in off of Highway 11. And on my way out there, I passed by this ministry, turned my head, saw their sign, and I said, I need to find out more about them. I came into the studio today, and they were sitting in the lobby. So I said, providentially, we're going to go ahead and talk with these folks about the ministry that they have. So you want to stay tuned for that. By the way, the golfing didn't go very well. I'll just add that. I enjoyed my fellowship with a fellow pastor, Bob Anderson, but the golfing was another story altogether. With that, Dr. Cooper, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Great to be with you.
Dr. Cooper, let's start by talking a little bit about Thomas Manton. If you could give us a little bit of the background about Thomas Manton, the time period that he lived in and what that time period was like, and just a synopsis of his life, that would be a great place, I think, for us to start the broadcast today.
Thomas Manton was born in 1620, and he died in 1677 in England. And he lived the early part of his life in the southwestern part of England, and then eventually he went to college. He went to Oxford, and he lived the rest of his life in the London area. And he was a pastor in the Church of England. And he's interesting because he lived in a very difficult time in England's history. So some people have said that the 17th century was the most decisive century in all of English history, because that's the time of Oliver Cromwell, that's the time when England had its own civil war, and for a couple of decades the entire nation was fighting against each other, also against Scotland and Ireland. So it's a really pivotal time in English history.
Now, not only were there a number of critical issues that took place during that time period, but I understand that Thomas Manton was also a contemporary with probably a lot more well-known individuals from that time period. Tell us a little bit about some of his associations.
Yeah, Thomas Manton was friends with people like Richard Baxter and John Owen. They're probably the most famous, we would say, Puritans at that time. Richard Baxter was a pastor for many years, and John Owen was more of a administrator and a professor. And they wrote lots of different books, and they have probably been more famous over the years than Thomas Manton was. But he was good friends with them and would have been very involved in the same types of things they were doing. Also, John Bunyan, you know, very famously for his work, most famously, the Pilgrim's Progress, he lived at the same time. He wouldn't have been friends with Thomas Manton. They would have been in very different circles, but they lived at the same time and same general area. And then also I mentioned Oliver Cromwell, who was basically in charge of England for about a decade, and Thomas Manton was his assistant chaplain.
Mm. For having such great associations and, you know, for living in such an important time period, does it surprise you somewhat that the name of Thomas Manton is not more well known to Christians today?
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, and I think one of the main reasons why Thomas Manton is not remembered as much as some of the others is because almost all of the works we have, pretty much all of them, are sermons, as opposed to someone like Richard Baxter. He wrote some other books. He wrote books for pastors, and John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which is just a wonderful book. And John Owen wrote some others as well, more theological treatises. So Thomas Manton was a pastor, and that's all he did his whole life was pastored. And the books that he wrote are all sermons, so he wrote those to his church. And so in that way, I'm not surprised. And then the other thing is, as we'll probably talk about, in 1662 is when 2,000 Puritan pastors were ejected from their pastorates. And after that, there was a whole season of people who were opposed to Puritanism, and so that's continued for several decades and even centuries.
Hmm. I was thinking about that, where you just cataloged why Manton may not be as well known today. You mentioned both Baxter and Owen. Again, Baxter, you know, seems to that great book on the Reformed pastor, and the saying that you'll see in a lot of podiums and pulpits around the country, "I preached as if I'll never preach again, as a dying man to dying men." Owen, then, you know, known as, of course, for his tremendously deep writings, like The Death of Death and The Mortification of Sin and so forth. But as you mentioned, there's no great statement that people associate Manton with, is there? Is there a particular work that they associate Manton with?
Yeah, the greatest work that most people agree on of Thomas Manton's was his series on the Book of James. And that's in the book that I wrote on Thomas Manton. That's the section that I focus on the most with Manton and his works, is looking at the Book of James. So there were not a lot of people, surprisingly, who wrote commentaries on James or a series of sermons on them. And so that was his probably greatest contribution.
I mentioned at the top of the broadcast Manton being a prolific writer. We do have quite a collection of his writings, right?
We do. We have about 22 volumes, and they're all sermons, and they're very rich, but at the same time they're very dense, and you know, you'll get a lot of value out of them, but you really have to work hard at 17th century English.
Yeah, I have a copy of his work there on the Book of James, and you're right. I mean, it's just a deep well. As you pour over it, it is a little bit difficult to, not as difficult as Owen, I don't think, but it is a little bit more difficult to plow through, obviously, than what modern day writing would be about. But if, as you just rightfully said, if you will stick it out and go through it, you'll be happy you did, because there's, the deeper you dig, the more gold that you discover as you go down through his writing. Has that been your experience as well?
It has been my experience. I've been really edified over the years as I've taken the time to work through his different sermons, and you'll always walk away with something challenging, something that'll stick with you. But yeah, as you mentioned, it's something you have to work through. And what I want to do in the book is, at the end of the book, I have a section where I chose three of Manton's writings and I modernized them and made them into contemporary English. So I tried to keep all of the depth there and all of the things that you can well, but at the same time modernize it, and I think it's really helpful and edifying.
What would you highlight about Thomas Manton as being his, kind of his forte? You know, if you think about Owen, you know, maybe the theologian, or if you think about Spurgeon being the preacher, or Baxter the pastor, which category do you think rises above? I know they're all of those are prevalent there with Manton, but is there one peak that maybe is a bit higher than some of those others?
I would say he's very similar to Richard Baxter, and that two things I would say: he's a pastor and a preacher, and then also he was a peacemaker. So Thomas Manton, he was known as, quote, the king of preachers. So we have a man who began a journal in the late 1670s in London, and he actually attended Manton's funeral. And what he walked away with is a couple of things. One, he said that Manton was called the king of preachers, and everybody there had been really touched by his preaching. And the second part is, he was a great person of reconciliation, or a peacemaker. And so Manton was very involved working with people in the Church of England, and then Presbyterians, and then Independents and Baptists, and trying to reconcile them. So preaching and peacemaking is probably his two greatest contributions.
I want to talk a little bit more about that peacemaking portion of it. Being called the king of preachers, obviously, that is not an opposition to Spurgeon being referred to as the prince of preachers. It's not saying that he is above the prince, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. And Charles Spurgeon, you know, a couple of generations, 200 years later. But it's interesting, Spurgeon has a quotation of Manton. He actually went to Manton a lot looking at his sermons. And the quote essentially says something like, Thomas Manton was not the greatest of preachers, but he was always someone you walked away with challenged and you learned something. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of the legacy, I think, of Manton.
Do you find that very often? I have in some of my studies that you may read a sermon by C.H. Spurgeon or another well-known individual, and you find out sometimes that we're drinking from the same well. You hear something that is mentioned there, and you know that, well, wait a second, I read that in Manton, or I read that in Baxter or Owen, or so forth. Do you find that just that many of the well-known preachers, we find that they had gleaned quite a bit, and noticeably so, from the Puritan writers?
Absolutely. I think that if you're looking at commentaries today, and, you know, we could just isolate the Book of James because that's what Manton worked on, but if you read commentaries on the Book of James today, a lot of them, even contemporary ones, even ones that are not drawing necessarily directly from Puritanism, they'll be impacted by something that Manton said or by an offhand comment or something like that. So, yeah, I think today there's many passages, many themes that are drawn out of Puritanism, even though we probably don't know they are.
Mm. You made mention of that he's best known, Thomas Manton is best known for his work on James. But his work on James, did it set him at a bit of odds with the reformers that came before him? I'm thinking specifically about Luther and his almost derogatory statements towards the Book of James. Did it set him at odds not only in a broad sense, in a general sense that way, with a few of the reformers, but also somewhat in the interpretation of the Book of James as well?
Yeah, Martin Luther had almost, I would say, disastrous comments about the Book of James. And so what's interesting, and I follow that development, is Martin Luther argued that James really shouldn't be part of our canon. And the main reason is because the way Luther interpreted James is to believe that James said that we're justified by our works and not by faith alone, which was in contrast to the way Luther interpreted Paul. So Luther said it's actually best just not to have James as part of our canon. He did it and included it in his canon, but he put that at the end of the New Testament. And actually he did the same thing for the book of Hebrews and Revelation and 2 Peter and Jude. So it wasn't just James.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened after Luther is the Protestant tradition disagreed completely with Luther. And so as far as Luther went on the one side with James, that's how far the Protestant church went on the other side. And so Manton is one of those who would have argued that James should rightfully be included in our New Testament and that James has a lot to say and that James does not disagree with Paul. They see things a little differently, but they ultimately would agree on the same basic issues. And so Manton would have been part of that tradition that would have been received fully by later biblical interpreters.
Mm. For our listening audience, let me just sum up that argument as succinctly as I can. There is no inherent disagreement between the Apostle Paul and between James, the writing of James. They are looking at the same issue from two different perspectives. James is looking at justification as, I'm sorry, Paul is looking at justification as the root of our salvation, works as the, let me put it differently. James is looking at the fruit of our justification, works being the fruit, the natural fruit of our justification. Paul is saying that works can never be the root of our justification. So they're both looking at works, but they're looking at them at two different time periods. But Paul is saying they have no play whatsoever, that they are anathema for the Christian to come to God with their good works. It is resting in our own righteousness, and it's completely anathema to what we find in the Word of God. James, though, is looking from a different perspective, and he's saying, as Calvin rightfully said at one time, faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. that true saving faith will always produce good works afterwards. And so James is basically saying works are important, not as the root of our salvation, but certainly as important as the fruit of our salvation. And one final way of looking at this, Paul is looking at it from a vertical way. He's looking at works as they are before Almighty God. And James is looking at works as they appear before men. He's looking at it in a horizontal way. Men look at our lives and they see our works. When they see our works, they should glorify our Father which is in heaven. So he's saying that our works are important here upon the face of the earth to demonstrate our faith. Paul was looking at it from a completely different perspective. Is that a fair summary, do you think, Dr. Cooper?
I think it is. They both were addressing similar issues, but from a very different context. So you're right. I think Paul is looking at it in a very early Christian context, and so it was important to understand what faith was and how you have faith in Jesus and what salvation was. And James is looking at it from a different perspective, so it's assuming a Christian audience, and so you would assume more fruit, as you said, as opposed to just explaining what justification is.
Mm. What do you think is the greatest lessons that we can learn from Manton's life that we can bring forward now into the time that we providentially have been chosen to live in? Is there a certain principle about, you mentioned the idea of peacemaker with Manton. Is there certain principles that are top of mind for you that not only apply during his day and age, but they transcend time periods like that, and we could bring them directly forward into our lives today?
Yeah, I think there's two things. The first is, I would say, more biblical interpretation and spiritual disciplines, where the Puritans were well known for their understanding of Scripture, and they would spend hours a day just reading through the Word and learning so much and how that would impact their daily lives. And a part of that would have been prayer, where someone like Jonathan Edwards, for instance, would have spent 12 hours a day just reading Scripture, praying, meditating, and reflecting over that. And that's something, when you do that, you don't walk away unchanged. Think of Moses in the Old Testament when he was with God, how he would come back and he would have to put something over his face because it was just glowing. And when you spend your day and your week in Scripture and you're praying and meditating, that changes you for good.
Mm.
And the second part is that reconciliation, that peacemaking. And today we live in a time that's not that much different from Manton's in the 17th century, where England was divided and there was wars and people were arguing back and forth. We live in the same context where there's so many different churches and it's so easy to divide, and we could just list any number of specific denominations that are dividing over different issues. And so thinking about Manton, that he contributes as we try to make peace, and there's always a time for unity, and sometimes it's maybe best to divide. But just thinking about the context, it's easy to divide, and how we could maybe learn from him on how to make peace within our church context.
Mm, well said, and I'm glad you highlighted that. We need to take a very quick commercial break, but when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about one word that you mentioned there, and you have a chapter on it as well, but that is the word meditate. This is a lost art. This was something that the Puritans, Manton included, were very big on making sure that their listening audience understood this concept of meditating on the Word of God. So I want to talk about Manton and meditation when we come back from the break, and we'll continue with our discussion with our special guest today, Dr. Derek Cooper. We're talking about his book, Thomas Manton, A Guided Tour of the Life and the Thought of a Puritan Pastor. It's put out by P&R Publishing. That's www.prpbooks. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Sam Hunter with 721 Ministries.
I start each week asking the Lord what it is He wants me to say and discuss with all these businessmen across the upstate, because everybody in the South has heard everything there is to hear about the Bible. But if you approach it with a different angle and say, have you thought about it from this way? What is really Jesus trying to say to you? I get to just talk about what I think Jesus is really saying to us in this busy world.
Friday at 8:11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's spring, time to brighten your life at the annual plant sale to benefit kids in poverty at Strides Tutoring. On Saturday, May 19, we'll have quality plants for the home and yard at the Barnyard Flea Market, south of Greer, Highway 101. Look for the jungle of plants under the big white tent south of I-85, exit 60. Call 246-9898 for more info. Help a child and help yourself to some gorgeous plants.
Everyday Glamour Girl Skincare Clinic may not have discovered the fountain of youth, but their method of reversing the signs of aging comes very close. Their non-invasive, pain-free technology helps stimulate, tighten, and detoxify the skin, which establishes a clear complexion, creating a long-lasting, youthful appearance. Call 252-4212 for an appointment. They're located on Owens Lane in Malden, across from the Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about the life and thought of Thomas Manton. Thomas Manton, just a prolific preacher and writer in the sense of his sermons, that we have the collection of his sermons, a number of volumes of his sermons, but just a great Puritan thinker, and just enjoying our conversation so much about Thomas Manton. We're doing so around a brand new book that has just been published by P&R Publishing. That's www.prpbooks.com. And the author of that book is Derek Cooper. He's done a wonderful job of pulling together some of the highlights of Manton's life. In fact, the subtitle of the book is actually entitled A Guided Tour of the Life and Thought of a Puritan Pastor. And that's exactly what you'll find in this book, a guided tour. He just guides you through the life of Thomas Manton very smoothly. Don't be intimidated by the book at all. He does a very, very good job here in the book of laying out and highlighting this great Puritan pastor's works and his life in general. So I highly recommend it. Let's go back to our discussion now with Dr. Cooper. Dr. Cooper, I mentioned just before the break that Manton spoke about the meditation, about biblical or scriptural meditation. Give us a little bit of a snapshot as to what he has to say about this important and, in our day and age, neglected subject.
Yeah, biblical meditation, and I like how you focused on the biblical meditation. I just wrote a book with P&R on Christianity and world religions, where I introduce people to the different faiths of the world. And some things that we hear that term meditation a lot, and some people have a negative connotation associated with it. And I think the reason why is because they're thinking of Buddhism, where you may empty your mind, and that's what you do in meditation. But in Christian meditation, we're meditating on God's Word. And Thomas Manton talks about that, and I do have a chapter where he looks at meditation, and he has just this beautiful sermon. He actually has, I think it's a series of 10 sermons on half a verse in the Old Testament, and it's the verse in Genesis 24 where Isaac went out into the field to meditate.
Mm.
And it's just wonderful, and I'm always impressed at how these Puritans can have 10 really deep sermons on half a verse.
Mm-hmm.
And so Manton drives home this idea of meditating and biblical meditation. So reading God's word and just meditating on what you hear and what you're thinking about. And it's something actually last night I was with my wife when we were reading through the Bible together. And we just had probably two chapters we were looking at. And the greatest part, it was we would read through what we were hearing, and then we would talk about it. And so that's kind of the idea that Manton has here. Meditation is, it's not just reading something. Reading and studying, that's important, and we get information. But the meditation part is more the transformation. So it's this dance that goes back and forth as we hear things from God, and as we reflect on them, as we put them into practice. So another way to say it is I was, just this morning, I looked at a quote from a theologian. His name was Maximus the Confessor, and he said, "Theology without practice is a theology of demons."
Hmm.
And I think that kind of gets this idea of meditation is it's information, but the information is always intended for transformation.
Mm-hmm. And the means to that transformation, meditation is a means of grace. As we take the Word of God, the Word that's preached or read to us, and then as you mentioned, it's the chewing of the cud. It's the milling over in our mind and taking that text of Scripture and comparing it with how we view things in certain areas. You were talking about worldviews. How does this apply to my life on a daily basis? How does this fit in with this other verse? How does it compare and contrast with what is said in the New Testament? If it happens to be an Old Testament text of Scripture and so forth. This type, it's so opposed to everything that we see in modern evangelicalism today, where the concept is so superficial. The thoughts are so shallow. Everything is so casual in its approach. But here is a methodology, a biblical methodology, where we should be taking the Word of God and really trying to squeeze it and glean out of it all the spiritual nutrients that we possibly can get. I'm so glad that you include that as part of this book, because I think it's something that is vital to joyous and victorious Christian living.
Yeah, I agree absolutely. And I think of our culture, it's such a busy, busy culture. And that's one of the main distractions of our culture is that we don't take the time, we don't have a priority of studying Scripture and of reflecting on it and going back and forth and trying to live it out.
Mm-hmm. They also had another way of meditating I'll just mention briefly, and then I want to contrast that with Manton's as a public figure in the closing minutes of our interview here today. But let me just mention that we're talking about specifically meditating on a verse of Scripture, but they also did something else. I remember reading in The Practice of Piety by Lewis Bailey that he mentioned that when he got up in the morning and he would put his change out of his pajamas and put his clothes on, that he would use mundane events throughout his daily life to remind him of things that he had read in the Scriptures. For instance, when he was getting dressed in the morning, he would think about the putting on, being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So he would take one of those earthly events and yet then infuse it or ascribe to it scriptural thoughts. And so he used these thoughts then throughout the day to help him to keep his mind on heavenly things and not to be so easily distracted by things throughout the day. Do you bring that out at all, that type of meditation, in your book?
I don't in this book, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about a few moments ago, where when you're living a life that's completely saturated with the Word of God, that naturally comes to mind. And so when you're doing the daily chores of your life, that you know who you are, you know what your identity is, because you've been meditating on Scripture. So, yeah, I think it's just beautiful images to keep us focused throughout the day on what's important.
Having said that about meditation, some folks in our listening audience may conclude then, they're talking about much more of a monastic type of approach to things, a withdrawing from society and not really engaging. Nothing could be further from the truth, because your next chapter speaks about Manton as a public figure. So speak and compare and contrast those two elements.
Yeah, and I like how you put that together, and that's what I was looking for. Is oftentimes when we hear that word meditation, we do think of monks, we think of people who are living far from society. And there's certainly, that is part of the Christian tradition, but there's also this other part of the Christian tradition where meditation is something that we all should do as Christians. It's not just for monks living far from society, but for all people who are Christians. So at the same time, you're meditating on God's word. It's supposed to be lived out. And so as the book of James, we've been talking about the book of James, it's one of the best books in the Bible that talks about living out your faith, that it's not just enough to profess that you're a Christian. Even the demons do that, James says, but we live it out. And so one of the ways that Manton lived that out was being a public person. And in the 17th century in England, that meant a lot of different things. And in fact, it could have meant that you died. Thomas Manton had friends who were killed for holding views that today we wouldn't even really question. So living out his faith convictions, and then Thomas Manton would actually be arrested later in the 1660s because he was preaching the gospel. And so just think of him as a public person preaching the gospel, even though it was illegal at this time for him to do so, because of his convictions, because of what he gathered as he was meditating on God's word.
Mm. Dr. Cooper, what final thoughts would you like to leave with the listening audience? And maybe built into that would be, what is your hope and your objective in writing this book? What are you hoping this will do specifically in our modern day and age? Speak to those issues, if you would, please.
Yeah, a lot of us, I think, when we hear the word Puritanism, we think of these great figures who lived hundreds of years ago, and they don't really have much to say to us today. And what I try to do in the book is to choose a person, and Thomas Manton was a typical Puritan. He was a pastor. He was a public person. And to basically take away any intimidation. So you mentioned the intimidation earlier about going back and reading through their sermons, and will I understand what they're saying, and they use difficult language. They were Christians trying to be faithful to Christ, and it happened to be hundreds of years ago in a very different context, but it's not really that much different from the way we live our lives today in the 21st century. We're trying to be faithful to what Christ has shown to us and to live out our faith, and we see the Puritans are able to do that in a certain way, and I think they have a lot to offer us. And so, you know, what I would like for readers to walk away with is they take the time and they work through and learn about the Puritans, and then Thomas Manton, they look at some of his sermons, and as I mentioned, I included a section here. You can read some of his sermons in more modernized English. And I think that when they do so, they'll really find that they resonate, that they are able to learn a lot. And it's not just for people who may be teaching a Sunday school class where they can go and they're teaching on the book of James and they can go and see what Thomas Manton wrote, but also just Christians at large who are able to learn about meditation, to think more about what that means and how you go about doing that, and to think about their daily lives, prayer, to think about their public lives and how they are to live as Christians as public. So these are things that the Puritans have done, and I think they have a lot to teach us.
Well, Dr. Cooper, thank you very much for writing this book. I think you've done a tremendous service in bringing this particular Puritan writer to the minds of modern readers, and doing it in a way that it's very readable. It's, just a well-written book. It's endorsed, by the way, let me tell from our listening audience, J.I. Packer, Carl Truman, Daniel Hyde, just to name a few, all of who have been on the Knowing the Truth radio program here with me, all of them endorse this book, and I would endorse it as well and say it's just a delightful read about a Puritan pastor, and you would do well to put your hands on a copy of this. Dr. Cooper, thank you very much for doing this work and for taking time out to visit with us for a little bit here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Okay. That was Dr. Derek Cooper, and we were talking about his book, Thomas Manton. You can get a copy of this book for yourself. It's out at www.prpbooks.com. That's prpbooks.com. Go out there and just type in Manton in their search engine. It'll take you right to the page, and you can get a great copy of this book for yourself. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're going to switch gears in just a minute. We were talking about living out our life for Christ. We're going to talk about a local ministry that is trying to do that in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the TownHall.com Weekend Journal. Each week we have the newsmakers.
You have to close our borders in the sense that we have to know who's coming into this country.
They're basically presenting children who believe that they are the wrong gender and want to change gender. And it's being presented that parents should allow these children to simply declare themselves to be other than what they are.
Don't miss this week's TownHall.com Weekend Journal, where we bring clarity to the week's events.
Sunday evening at 7 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
You probably heard it. What you believe, as long as you believe something, are sincere about it, and are tolerant of others who don't share your truth. Now, that sounds good until you think about it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a doctor who looks at my cancer and says, "Doesn't matter, take some honey." I don't want to fly with a pilot who is sincere about not believing in gravity. I can do the tolerant thing, but truth is truth. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it matters. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Hey, share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Don't we all want solid biblical resources we can trust when it comes to faith and family issues? Shepherd Press certainly qualifies. Shepherd Press is committed to providing God's people with solid biblical books and materials. They focus on heart issues rather than performance issues, authentic change that works from the inside out. At Shepherd Press, you'll find books, articles, and a regularly updated blog that will provide a forum for ongoing discussion of issues related to parenting and Christian living. For more information, go to shepherdpress.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, welcome back into the final 15 minutes of the broadcast here today. I mentioned that on Monday I was out golfing. Child Evangelism Fellowship invited me to go out and to golf with them at the, they put on this classic out at the Vineyards, you know, the Cliffs Vineyards. I don't belong on that course except to cut the grass. And so when they asked me to go, I just naturally asked, should I bring the weed whacker, you know, the trimmer with me? They said, no, we want you to golf. So I went out there and golfed. It was horrible. I just did a terrible job. But something happened on the way there. On the way out, I was going through Pickens, and I turn my head, and I see a sign that says Christ-Centered Riding on the sign. And I said, wow, that sounds interesting. I wish I had time to stop and find out more about the ministry. I didn't. I was running late, as always. And so I just kept right on going. Well, I pull up today to the studio, and as I'm getting out of my car, there's a pickup truck next to me in the parking lot. And as I pass by, on the back of the pickup truck, there's a sign that says Christ-Centered Riding on the truck. And so I said, this is interesting. So I walk into the lobby here at the Christian Talk 660, and sitting in the lobby are the two principal members of Christ-Centered Writing right there. So Kathy is the CEO and founder. Candace is the president of Christ-Centered Writing. I think they may have a different name that they go by for that. Oh, I'm sorry, Mounted Ministries. So the titles that I just read to you, they apply to Mounted Ministries. And so I said, you know what? You guys are right here. Why don't you pop into the studio here really quickly and tell us what this is all about? And then this way I can find out what I wanted to know. And let's just do it on air, you know, with the rest of the listening audience here. So, Kathy, let me toss it to you first. Tell us a little bit about what is Mounted Ministries, and even more specifically, what is Christ-Centered Writing?
Well, Kevin, this was a dream that came to me, a vision that I had back in 2000. I wanted to be able to combine my passion for horses with my passion for Jesus Christ and just share it with anyone and everyone. So that's our motto, sharing our passion for Jesus through our passion for horses.
So how does that play out? We were just talking about this at the end of our conversation with Dr. Cooper. He was talking about, you know, living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So providentially, the Lord has you involved in horses your whole life, I would imagine. I know many people that love horses. I am terrible around horses. The thing that happens to me is they say, well, the horse knows if you're not comfortable around him. And that just ruins everything for me, because that makes it worse, because now I know that he knows the way that I feel. And so now I'm even more apprehensive around the horse. So I'm just absolutely terrible. Is there hope for a person like me at Christ-Centered Riding?
No, no, no. Can't fool the horse. They're going to mirror exactly how you feel. But yes, there's hope for you, Kevin.
Okay. So you have to exude some sort of sense of confidence around them. You have to muster it up the best you can and say, I'm in charge, and this animal, as powerful as he is, he is under my control, right? So there's a lot of lessons here in horseback riding that really line up with scripture verses.
Yes, they do. Jesus Christ is our ultimate model of a servant. And at Mountain Ministries, we share with everyone that our horses are our servant. But although that we're the master, we're not above our horses. We're there to serve them as well.
Candace, you've given us a little bit about what the general principle is. Let me ask Kathy here. Kathy, tell us about the specific programs. What do you guys offer? Is there general riding that people can do, you know, just open to the public? I could show up there and say, hey, I wouldn't say this, but I would say from my family members, could they come and just, you know, ride for an hour and a half or something?
Yes.
And then is there other programs as well, maybe a camp or, you know, something else?
Yep. We offer Christ-centered riding lessons. They come in 1.5 hour increments. You'll get to groom the horse, and Kathy's going to go over horse anatomy and, you know, brief you a little bit on how a horse operates and what you need to do to stay safe around the horse. And then, you know, you'll get to start your riding lesson. And then during your riding lesson and during your grooming, Kathy is going to incorporate scripture into those riding lessons and the grooming. And it works out really well for people that are just, you know, becoming used to being around horses. So it's the horse ignorant are going to enjoy those times. So for people like me,
thank
too.
Thank you, Kathy, for sharing that. Yeah, we could have said, I don't know, I would have maybe used a different word. I got the point.
But, you know, for someone that's wanting to start out and just learn, you know, a little bit about horses, that Christ-centered riding lessons is going to be the best way for them to start out.
Oh, okay.
And then... other than our Christ-centered riding lessons, we have the Hallelujah Horse Camp coming up this summer. And that was the whole reason that we were here at the studio when you met us this morning, was we were recording commercials for the horse camp, Hallelujah Horse Camp. And also we have our Cowgirls and Cowboys for Christ meeting the first and second Saturdays of every month. And we're meeting at the arena and up at the barn, and we'll just be having Bible studies with cowgirls on the second Saturday and cowboys on the first Saturday. And that's actually, excuse me.
Yep, is it flipped over?
Cowgirls the first Saturday and cowboys the second Saturday of the month.
Yeah.
And that's for 4th through 12th grade children, kids, teenagers. I said, Kathy, I didn't want to use kids, so
yeah.
Teenagers too.
Young adults.
Young adults.
Yeah.
So those are just three of the main things that we offer at Mounted Ministries. But we offer free barn days, and one of us is always up there representing Mounted Ministries at the barn. What day did you say you came by?
Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday was a big day for Mounted Ministries.
Why is that?
We were on foal patrol.
You
foal patrol.
Oh, okay.
One of the mares up there was pregnant. Kathy's first horse, that is actually the first cross-centered riding horse. To come to Mounted Ministries, and she gave birth on Tuesday to a little boy. So we have a little boy, new little boy at the barn, but so that was going
Colt,
through
right?
Colt. Right.
Hey, there I am. I got it right. Okay.
Colt. Exactly. So foal patrol lasted on Sunday night and Monday night.
Oh, boy.
And he finally came. So
everything is fine, though.
Everything's great. He's beautiful.
How many horses are we talking about up at Christ-Centered Riding?
How many horses do we have now, Kathy?
Roughly?
Nine
horses. Okay.
Nine.
Now, you guys, I see from your brochure here, trail rides, horse shows, rodeos, parades, birthday parties. So the folks in the upstate of South Carolina can really take advantage of quite a lot here. What's the best way for them to find out more about what you guys offer?
Well, our website is mountedministries.org, or they can call us at 752-5142.
And that's an 864 area
yes.
code. 864-752-5142. You can call and find out more. And again, we're talking if they just want to get a small group together and go riding together, go out on the trails. Do you do any of the overnight things where you could ride the horse out and,
yes.
and then they stay overnight or
yes.
something, and like a camping?
Yes. Each year we have been participating in the American Heart Association's Beach Ride-A-Thon. So we incorporate this as a mission trip. It's a field trip opportunity for the Lord's Posse to get out there and share God's word with anyone that's up and down Myrtle Beach coastline. Is closed 10 miles for horses to ride up and down, and we camp. We teach them the role of a servant's heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great time on horseback, and that's for 4 nights and 5 days.
Wow, that's a lot of horse time right there. A lot of horsing around. I like the way you couch all these terms in the Lord's Posse and so forth. I met a preacher who actually has a ministry. He was here in Greenville speaking, and I forget the actual name of his church. It's out west somewhere. But anyways, when he spoke, he said that there's great lessons here around horses and around that whole lifestyle, cowboy lifestyle. He said that really they teach the young people that it's not very complicated. You only really need to know two words. The two words were whoa and go. He said all the animals and all the people in his family on the ranch that he has, they only need those two things. He says when he speaks to his son, it's either whoa or go. He said, get involved in this, go, you know, this is something you need to be doing, or whoa. And he says, when I say whoa, it's very serious. Because there may be a bull or something coming at you. So when I tell you to stop, it's not, well, if you think about stopping or whatever, I mean stop. Don't go in this direction. It was very entertaining, but it was also, you know, kind of a homespun wisdom there. And there really was a lot of kernels of truth hidden in that. Mm-hmm. I imagine that that's what you guys try to do at this ministry as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me give we didn't have much time to spend together, so let me just let people find out about more. Again, it's called Mounted Ministries. It's the subtitle here is Christ-Centered Riding. Be a great place for you to take your family to riding lessons, discipleship, summer camps, outreach. The phone number is 864-752-5142. That's 864-752-5142. Or if you'd rather, you can go out to their website at www.mountedministries.org. That's Mounted Ministries, all one word, .org. You can go out there in order to find out more about this ministry. It looks like it'd be fun for the entire family to go to. Remember this, in all the things that we discuss, Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also heard on FM 92.9.